You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I am just wonderful, Paul. We are here to finish up the Skywalker saga.
Oh, thank God. God, these movies. So each one of these movies has a different reaction for me. It's weird because the original trilogy, I'm like, hey, I like these movies. Like each one. A New Hope, Empire, yes. Return of the Jedi. Then you get to the prequel trilogy and I'm like, I can watch Phantom Menace, especially now. It's got this huge cult following now. Like, it's so strange.
I think it's a better movie watching it as an adult.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
And then Attack of the Clones is just kind of meh. And then Revenge of the Sith is a good time. Not for, you know, the kids, but they die. Then you get to this trilogy, and I just find myself, like, I'm at a decent level, and then it just goes down to just pure... I'm angry at the second one, and then I'm disappointed in this one.
Yeah, it's sad that it just was totally poorly planned, poorly executed. Yeah. It was just a hot mess all around.
Yeah. So, do we have any news? I totally forgot. We literally just talked about this and I totally forgot already.
Not really. Obviously, as of last week, we mentioned the Writers Guild strike was currently going on and is still going on. And from all accounts I'm hearing, there's no end in sight here, so I think we're going to start hearing probably within the next couple of weeks, if they haven't resolved anything, you're going to start hearing that some shows are possibly getting canceled. Shows will, you know, probably debut till late into the fall, because, I mean, again, this is crunch time to get, you know, your pilots and all you're starting to get the scripts in for all the returning shows, so... Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, no Saturday Night Live, no late night stuff. Even, what's her name? Blossom.
Mayim Bialik. Mayim
Bialik left Jeopardy because of, you know, the writer's strike.
Jeez.
And Ken Jennings is going to just do it for the remainder of all that. So
interesting.
This is, it's nuts. And I don't recall the actors being as vocal as back in 2007 as they are today. Which is good. You want everyone to be on the same page. So this is strictly the creative side versus the studio side. And, you know, I mean, it's going to get resolved at some point. And I have a feeling the studios are going to have to give in because we're not going to get anything done until it happens.
The Writers Guild has the upper hand on this one.
Absolutely. I mean, you it's like you need writers. I mean, the only thing you can do is find people who are not in the guild. But then those people won't work ever again. That's the thing. Yeah, are you gonna find someone who doesn't care that they're basically gonna tarnish their career by crossing the picket line? So yeah, I mean, again, no, we'll keep people in the loop as we do each week. But as of right now, nothing really resolving this issue.
It's a good thing that we also do a lot of old movies too.
Well, that's true. That's very true. So we're going to have to stick to that model. There are some new movies still coming. Like I said, I mean, it'll be a while before movies, I think, are impacted by this. I mean, the only movie so far I've heard that's really been impacted by this is Blade.
Yeah.
But at this point, like, when the hell is that movie even going to come out? I mean, they've been talking about that movie for, what, 5 years now?
It
feels like
strange.
When they announced that movie?
Yeah, I don't know. But apparently Daredevil, they're pushing back now, too.
Okay, well, that's a TV show. Makes sense, because, you know, it's probably not fully, they probably didn't have enough scripts in, and again, the actors aren't going to do anything until this is resolved, so.
Mm-hmm.
Hey?
Yeah, c'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
Anything else?
That is about it, sir.
Well, we suck. All right. So let's.
Wow.
I said we.
I know, but it's just like we've got episodes without new news, and then I have that news, and it's like, oh, we suck.
No news is good news. Robin Hood Men in Tights. Love it.
Thank you, Mervin.
You're welcome. So let's jump into this stupid movie. Stupid.
Yeah, you really feel awful.
Stupid
really.
Movie. I did some prep work for this because I have not seen this movie since we saw it in theaters.
I literally just watched it before we decided to record.
That's terrible.
It's fresh on the brain.
I watched the Everything Wrong With video on it, and I watched the Everything Great About video from Cinema Sins and Cinema Wins.
Okay.
So that way, I want to be fair. Like even with The Last Jedi, I still found things that I enjoyed in it. Shut up. Stupid. So stupid. But this movie is just a hot mess.
It is, and we can't keep repeating ourselves every week. It's everybody knows there was no initial layout of an idea for this trilogy. And this is now we're seeing what that causes. And when you have someone who, you know, was supposed to basically make this movie set in stone and then he leaves due to creative differences, you know, J.J. Abrams comes in and tries to clean up the mess. And I mean, it's your opinion, you or me or anyone else out there listening, if he did a good job. I mean, we don't know what this movie would have been if Colin Trevorrow actually did it. Because I truly believe him and Rian Johnson had a storyline in place. And they were gonna. It was gonna make more sense that way, but hey,
almost like Zack Snyder.
I mean, but as you said last week, and they tried to overcorrect themselves, and they just did a piss poor job.
And this movie, the overcorrection's worse. I honestly do think that this movie is better than Rise of Skywalker, but really, or excuse me, than The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi.
Yeah, but my issue with The Last Jedi is more the Luke Skywalker stuff. So,
yeah,
like Star Wars has never been Academy Award winning writing.
Just the first one.
Even the first one is still like the script is it's got a lot of iconic scenes and a lot of iconic lines, but like it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, it's based on a well-known storyline. I mean, it's not anything. You know, the bones of the storyline of all we've known forever, going back to like, you know, the King Arthur stories and stuff like that. But I think it's the language he came up with. It's the different terms that have become part of the Star Wars lexicon. You know, these characters obviously are just iconic and, you know, forever to be loved. And then the second one, Empire, took it to a next level because obviously it was much darker story. But yeah, you're right. They're not the greatest screenplays ever written, no.
Yeah. But it's funny because like we bash this new trilogy for not having a plan. George Lucas didn't have a plan you cannot tell me that if you watch Star Wars: A New Hope with all the knowledge that you have of this entire franchise, there is no way that he wrote A New Hope with Empire and Return of the Jedi in mind, much less the prequels.
The prequels were never on his mind until probably near the end of Return of the Jedi. And I truly believe, I don't know how much of the prequels he envisioned early on, but I do believe that he had a general arc of a storyline for the original trilogy. Now, he had to obviously stretch it out. He had to add things to it. But the bones of the story he had to the point where he wrote one giant script and he was like, I can't make this. This is too big. So he had to split it up. And again, we don't know exactly what he added to it to make each part its own movie. But I believe him that he had the whole idea in his head of, you know, the redemption of Vader, killing the Emperor.
I will argue, though, he had no idea that Darth Vader was going to be Luke's father in that first movie or that Luke and Leia were siblings. Because even Obi-Wan calls him Darth.
Yeah, it's just weird. I get what you're saying. I hear you, but again, we don't know what's in his mind. I don't know.
It's
I
just really weird because like now you watch Obi-Wan and he literally calls him Anakin the whole time.
Yeah, but then after Anakin goes, I didn't kill Anakin. You didn't kill Anakin. I killed Anakin. So it kind of obviously it's being done to mirror what happens in New Hope where he calls him Darth because he's like, you're not Anakin anymore. I'm not going to call you Anakin anymore.
I feel like he should have called him Vader then, in all honesty, because like Darth is the title, we find out.
That's fair.
And then obviously the Luke and Leia thing, they had no idea that they were going to make them siblings.
Okay, can we just establish something here? I mean, like, first of all, they kissed twice. Kisses on the cheek in the first one, harmless. In the second one, I agree with you. It's you know, but what are you gonna do?
What do you think a space therapist costs in the galaxy? That's all they needed. They just needed family counseling.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, sadly though, you know,
Skywalker's just ruining the galaxy for everyone.
Pretty much.
Like the Boba Fett and the Mandalorians are doing less damage to the galaxy than the Skywalker clan. It's crazy. But so let's talk. We kind of said some of our initial thoughts. Let's talk some of the characters that are new to this movie. Some of them have been in other movies, and then some of them have not. So let's start with the big return. Stupid. So stupid. The Emperor. What are your thoughts on the Emperor, Sean, before I go off on a tirade?
My thoughts on the Emperor as a character or the Emperor returning in this movie?
The Emperor returning in this movie.
It could have been done so much better. I didn't hate it, but it just felt like, again, it was an overcorrection for the way this series was going. And someone just said, oh, let's just bring back the Emperor. Okay. How? What? You didn't lay any groundwork in the first two movies that this was something that could possibly happen. I mean, like, even all it would have taken is something in Force Awakens and says, hey, you know, we're hearing rumblings that Palpatine somehow survived. There was nothing there. And I'm like, so from that standpoint, it was horrible. But I love Ian McDiarmid. I thought he was great, you know, just bringing back in that character. And, you know, just it's like he never left the character. He looks exactly the same as he did back in 83.
So I'm going to address that right now. All right. You said it. If you were going to clone yourself and put yourself in a brand new body, why would you put yourself in the oldest possible version of that body?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I would have been 21 and ready to go, man.
Or if anything, you would have been him before Mace Windu made a butt face at him.
You know, there's a theory that that's actually what he looks like, and he had been using the Force to disguise himself.
It's possible.
Yeah, well, who knows? So
who knows?
For me, I hated that they brought the Emperor back. Like, I like Ian McDiarmid too, and obviously, like, the prequels are a lot of fun with him as the main bad guy. A, they should have just had Kylo Ren be the bad guy. Like, they set it up in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, that's it was clearly, again, they were mimicking Return of the Jedi. Mm. You had to get your redemption. You had to have the big baddie. Well, we already killed Snoke, so who's going to be the big baddie? Oh, let's just bring the Emperor back.
And that leads to my B. Cloning in Star Wars is nothing new. Like, we have the Clone Wars, obviously, and then a lot of the expanded material had cloning. And now they're finally trying to fix that with The Mandalorian, where they're actually introducing, like, all these things about bringing the Emperor back. And all, like, they're backtracking super hard to try and make it all make sense. But in all honesty, they should have just had Kylo Ren be the bad guy. He doesn't need to be redeemed. There's this really weird, like, trend of if a villain is very likable or like the fans flock to them, they want to redeem them. You don't always need to. You don't always need to.
No, you don't. That's. I mean, there's that love for those anti-heroes. But he wouldn't. I mean, he wasn't. He's not even an anti-hero. He was just a truly bad guy, and this movie starts off and he's, you know, okay, he's still the Kylo Ren, you know, he has a few moments, and then, you know, it just turns on a dime, obviously, with the death of Leia, and it's like, and then we get our Han Solo, which I believe wouldn't have happened if Carrie Fisher was still alive.
No, I think it would have been her. It would have been her doing that scene.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason we got Harrison Ford back is because obviously Carrie Fisher was no longer with us. It was nice to see, but it just felt like, what are we doing here?
You know what I would have liked?
All it took to kill Kylo Ren, in Han's words, were Leia dying, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing happened there that I would feel like he redeemed himself.
No, he still murdered so many people.
No, I mean, like, she just, all she did was force talk to him, and then she died.
Oh, God, it was, like, what a lame.
And
again, they were at the mercy is the wrong word. They were dealt a shitty hand, obviously, with the death of Carrie Fisher. And it's her death is just so kind of lackluster because they couldn't do anything. I mean, to the point where her body's in shadow because
they didn't have
she's
her.
Not there.
Yeah.
So it's tough. And looking back on it, I feel for the crew. I feel for the writers. It's like, what do we do here? How do we make this work? Mm-hmm. So it kind of that put them in a corner. But it just, I mean, it's a pretty cool lightsaber fight between him and Rey. And, you know, she gets the better hand of him. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Leia's dead. I can't kill you. Let me save you.
Stupid.
Oh,
imagine how useful force healing would have been, you know, five movies ago when Padme dies of a broken heart. And Anakin Skywalker's like, I'm on fire. Where was this? Where was all this? God, this whole trilogy just upsets me. But, oh, I was going to say something too. I totally forgot. Oh, so you know how I'm going to jump ahead. You know how I think this movie should have gone?
Oh.
Kylo Ren should have been the big bad guy, the new emperor. And I think Rey should have fallen to the dark side. And it was up to Finn and Poe to bring her back.
You know what?
That would have been a great ending.
That would have been brave. That would have been, you know what? That would have been... They probably were too scared to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. That would have been interesting. I'm interested to talk to a bunch of Star Wars fans to see if they would have been okay with something like that. I mean, I'm sure they would have, because most people hate this movie. So I don't know. But you're right. It's, again, you're basically just remaking the original trilogy. It's to the point where it's literally... Instead of Vader and Luke versus the Emperor, it's Rey and Kylo versus the Emperor. And it's just like, this could have been done so much better. And you guys couldn't have come up with any better ideas. Really, that's why I'm kind of hoping with this new Rey film that they're going to do, they really do something different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm interested to see where they bring the character, but just so much. It's just so many things wrong with this movie, really is.
Speaking of which, we also have the return of another character, Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
He's there. I mean, he's in the movie.
He's there. It's fun to see him. He has a good moment at the end, but I think it's just fan service that he was in it.
Total fan service.
You know, you had to bring him back. Mm-hmm. You even had Wedge Antilles at the end there, which
that,
was fun
see,
to see.
That one I liked. That was fun, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had to do those too. But he really doesn't add anything to the story. He doesn't, you know, he saves them on the party planet that they're on. And he has a few moments that, you know, reminisce the end of Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
After that, nothing else.
Let's see, but, other new characters. We have Naomi Ackie as Janna?
Yeah, I think it's Janna, another former stormtrooper of the First Order.
Which was a way better story that we didn't get to see.
I agree with you.
It's I'm not like, mad at you. I'm just mad.
Now to bring this character in. I mean, it's like you basically replaced Rose with her.
Oh, yeah. Rose is in this movie for 4 minutes.
How blatant did you realize that as we were seeing this movie in theaters, it was like, are you kidding me? Like, the backlash was that epic that they were like, we're just going to not really utilize you at all in this movie.
Yeah.
Like that, first of all, that's a slap in the face to the actors. And I think that's just stupid on the part of the writers, that they caved to just bullshit, you know, pressure from moron people. But, you know, you couldn't come up with an interesting idea for her character. She just basically becomes Leia's, like, sidekick. And then she has a moment at the end, but nothing, she doesn't get to do anything.
Yeah, it's sad. Let's see who else we have.
The Janna character would have been interesting to see more of, because you obviously, it looks like her and Finn have a, you know, they kind of have a bond together, obviously both being former stormtroopers. That would be an interesting storyline to see where they would go and what they do.
But let's see, we have Kerry Russell as Zori Bliss. Bellis? She's fine. I you know, she's got some good moments, but like she's in it.
She's in it. I mean, again, the character's really not, it's just sort of a character that's in there, has a previous relationship with Poe. That's it. We kind of like her. So then when the planet gets destroyed. We're like, no, oh crap. And then we find out she's alive.
And they, like, her and Poe have their little flirt moment at the end, which is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
I would say this is the funniest of the movies.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where, what is it, when Kylo's doing his, you know, I want to be a hero moment at the end, and he jumps to that, like, really large chain, and he goes, ow.
Yeah.
Even I had to go, like, okay, that's funny.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I will say, and when we talk to, like, some of the things that we liked about this movie, there are some moments that I genuinely, like, I was like, that's some actual solid humor. And we'll talk about that when I talk about our three main leads after the break. But I think we have one more person we need to
talk about. Richard E. Grant as Allegiant General Pride.
Say that
just
three
another
times
another high-ranking general and of the First Order.
Yeah, say that three times fast.
What, the name?
Yeah.
Allegiant General Pride. Allegiant General Pride.
You had to stop. There's such a break between them. All right.
General Pride.
All right. So now that we've gone over some of our characters, when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about our main characters, the things we liked, the things we didn't like. But first, a quick break. Hey, guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on a set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service that you're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and we're going to start off by talking about a combination of things that we liked, didn't like, but also I want to talk about our three main leads, because this was supposedly going to be the last time we saw them.
Yes.
We have now since learned that Daisy Ridley will be coming back as Rey. We have no word yet on any of the other characters coming back. John Boyega has been very vocal about not coming back.
No, he has, and I don't think Oscar Isaac has really said anything.
Oscar Isaac is really busy. Like, he's doing all sorts of things. And obviously, he still has a good relationship with Disney. He did Moon Knight.
But that's true.
John Boyega and what they did with Finn. And I don't blame him. Like, they really
didn't
know.
No, I don't blame him either.
They didn't know what to do with Finn after the first movie.
I liked a little more what he had to do in this movie. I will
say that.
He had a
point, yeah.
But I agree. Like, it went so drastically downhill with Last Jedi. They probably, you know, really brought him up in this one. But I did like what I saw from him in this movie. Still not enough, but...
What do you think the secret he wanted to tell Rey was?
That he loves her? I don't
know. So, apparently, he was trying to tell her that he was Force-sensitive. That's what they've come out and said since. That he feels the Force. What? Stupid. Just say that, then. Actually, I would have thought it would have been a badass moment if instead of... So, as I mentioned, I would have much rather preferred Rey falling to the dark side, even just temporarily, and siding with Kylo Ren. And, like, that moment of John Boyega's Finn, like, when, like, trying to reach her, and, like, she's about to kill him, and he, like, grab, like, force pulls something and stops her. Like, that would have been, we could have had something really cool with that.
Like, Captain America grabbing the hammer.
Oh, or even, like, it's a mirror shot of when Rey grabs the lightsaber in Force Awakens when Kylo Ren's trying to grab it, and it flies past him and she catches it.
Yeah.
Like, something like that with Finn, though, I think that would have been really cool. But again, they did not sow any seeds of that in the previous movie.
No.
Stupid.
I did like.
Let's do a thing that I liked. I liked the back and forth between the three of them.
Oh, yeah, it starts off right away when they return to the base.
And the Falcon's on fire, and they're all arguing. And they feel like they're actual, like, solid friends at this point. Like, it's much better between them.
No, I agree. Especially Oscar Isaac and Rey have a good back and forth, like, brother-sister-ish kind of a, you know, annoyance.
This is the first movie where they really interact.
Well, that's true.
What?
That's very true. Because they don't interact in the first movie, basically.
Not at all.
And then in the Last Jedi, I don't recall them really interacting much at all either.
No. But I really did enjoy their rapport, and, you know, there is some good stuff in this movie. Like, you mentioned the lightsaber fight that Rey and Kylo Ren have. As much as I hate the whole have to go find an item to get another item to find an item to find this, it's a video game. Like, they wrote a video game script for this. I hate to say it. But when they're fighting on top of that debris, it's pretty cool. Like, the rain and the water is sizzling off the lightsabers.
Yeah. I do love... Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. And I do love the basically the Death Star runes that they have to go in to find this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought was cool.
The dagger thing was stupid, though. Like,
yeah, no, that was...
Why? Oh, so dumb. But what I really... So the lightsaber fighting in all three trilogies is very different. So in the original trilogy, they were also very limited by their technology, which, okay. By the time they got to Return of the Jedi, it was much cleaner. And the Return of the Jedi and Empire fight scenes still hold up.
Definitely.
But then you get to the prequel trilogy where the idea was this is the Jedi at their peak. So, yeah, they're doing flips. They're doing force powers. They're doing all these things. The lightsaber is it's like fast. It's like all this really cool stuff. And then you get to this trilogy where really none of these characters have formal training in lightsaber combat. So
Except for Kylo.
Except for Kylo. And even that, his lightsaber's still like literally on fire half the time. But like... In all honesty, like even when he's on that ship with her, he's toying with her. Like you see him just kind of like move in certain ways, and then even when they're fighting with lightsabers, he's just kind of messing with her because he is better trained than she is. She's just more powerful. But it unfortunately it ends with her stabbing him, and because of Leia just kind of whispering to him.
Yeah, because she forces him and he drops his lightsaber, so that's how she gets the upper hand on him.
Mm-hmm. Stupid.
And just
stupid.
And then he's just standing there contemplating life. And that's and then Han appears and I'm just like, oh, okay.
It's a pretty much reenactment of their scene on the bridge. It's almost like shot for shot,
pretty
word
much.
For word. And somebody pointed out in one of the videos I watched today that really it's him reliving that scene, because it's not a force ghost. It's all in his head.
The memory.
Yeah, and it's literally him seeing it from Ben's perspective versus Kylo Ren's perspective as he did the first time when he killed him. Yeah. So I get it. And it like the another cool scene that I really like is when Ben, because now he's Ben, is running into the Emperor's palace and he's got the blaster. He does the no look shot, and then him fighting the Knights of Ren was really cool, except for the fact the Knights of Ren were not even mentioned in the previous movie. I thought they were Jedi or dark Jedi, but they're just guys with cool outfits.
Yeah, we don't get any mention of them in the last movie, and then they show up at the beginning of this movie and you're kind of like,
oh,
okay,
hello.
You all must be, you know, interested in my new appearance. Oh, the mask?
Indeed.
It's all right.
I liked Kylo Ren's mask in this movie with the red. Apparently, it's like a Japanese tradition to like use gold to fix cracked items. Because like just because something's like broken doesn't mean it's like not good anymore. But what's another scene that you enjoyed? Do you have one off the top of your head?
I just love Mark Hamill, so I enjoyed their little scene together. When he raises Red 5 out of the water is always a great scene.
I like that scene because yes, it was it's in response to Luke in the previous movie, but it also makes sense. Like he's like, I was wrong, I was not right. Don't make the mistake that I did, and it shows much better writing on that part. And Mark Hamill he feels different as Luke Skywalker in that scene than he did in the entire last movie.
No, he does. He's fully become, you know, the Qui-Gon, the Yoda in this one. He's the true Jedi, you know, mentor. Mm-hmm. And you know, we get that little flashback. Well, then he gives her Leia's
lightsaber.
The first time we're ever seeing a lightsaber that belonged to Leia. But I kind of enjoy I liked the story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Now again, I think this was a hamper by the fact that she was no longer alive, but we get like, you know, why she didn't keep the lightsaber, why she didn't keep up with her training, because she had a vision that, you know, obviously what happened to Ben. So that is why she didn't go fully on into the Jedi, you know, training and all that stuff. But that was an interesting take on it. You get the de-aged Mark Hamill scene there, and clearly it's a computer generated, you know, Carrie Fisher.
But that's Billie Lourd doing the motion capture.
Really?
She was the body double for it. Yeah. So there was a lot of Billie Lourd
in the movie.
Yeah. She talks a lot about, you know, how she's glad that, you know, they were able to do it with, you know, whatever they had. So it, like, she gave her blessing on that, which I always think is nice. How do you feel about the 10 trillion fake outs in this movie?
Oh God. I mean, we all flipped when the Chewy one.
It was so, and then it was so dumb. Like, I had no problem with her doing the force lightning. I actually thought that was really cool and unexpected.
Yeah.
And it would have been ballsy if they had killed Chewie. It would have been, like, a ballsy move.
It would have been a ballsy move, but kind of expected it that he would be alive. There was going to be some type of bait and switch that happened, and that's what we got.
Then you have, Erasing C-3PO was another one.
That was okay. I mean, again, 3PO and R2 were just kind of there, you know, in this trilogy. They really weren't key factors into the storyline. But, you know, you get that one moment where C-3PO is like, you know, before you do this, let me just look around and remember all of you. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada.
My friends.
But then it's all it takes is R2-D2 to, like, stab him in the head. Good. He's like, I'm good.
And then, obviously, Kylo Ren gets stabbed. Rey saves him. Rey dies. Kylo Ren saves her. Then Kylo Ren dies. Even though for some reason, if Rey was laying there dead, after Kylo Ren does it, he disappears almost immediately. It's almost like the script knew that Rey was coming back. So dumb. But I do really like the scene where she's hearing all the voices of all the other Jedis.
That was good. Yes.
There's been they've done a lot of fan edits of that where they actually show the Force ghosts too of all those characters. Mm-hmm. So in that scene, you have Ewan McGregor, Alec Guinness, Ashley Eckstein as Ahsoka, which means Ahsoka's dead. Freddie Prinze Jr. is Kanan Jarrus. Olivia Diabo as Luminara. Udly. Frank Oz as Yoda. Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon. Jennifer Hale as Aayla Secura. Sam Jackson as Mace Windu. Let's see. Angelique Perrin as Adi Gallia. And then so many cameos in this too otherwise. But like, that was a really cool scene.
No, I did like that scene. That was well done.
It didn't make sense, though. The Emperor's like, all right, you got to kill me so that way I can take over your body. And she's like, no, I'm not going to kill you. Then she kills him, and he doesn't take over her body. Maybe he should also
He wasn't hooked up to his
machines?
His puppet master machine there.
So dumb. But then maybe he should just stop shooting force lightning, too, because now this is the second time that it's been bounced back at him. He's like, better keep shooting. Maybe it'll help.
Yeah.
Stupid. God, stupid. What?
It really is. It just really, it's like, they really thought this was good.
Yeah. Like that's, I said, there is some good in it.
There is. I mean, the movie's watchable, but it's just not.
Watchable?
You know, it's not. It's watchable, but it's to the point where it's like, okay, I could watch this maybe every 5 years if I'm going to do a Star Wars marathon. Like, you know, if you're just going to watch for the sake because you're watching all of them, okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm never going to go, hey, want to watch Rise of Skywalker?
Blech. No. No, if you told me you want to watch...
You're going to show this movie to your kids one day. Hopefully there'll be other Star Wars movies that have come since this and have made it better, but... You know, you're going to show this movie again at some point, you know?
You know, it's funny because the trailer came out, and I really liked it because it also shows the scene of her in the desert where Kylo Ren's flying at her. And that's a really cool scene. And then she, you know, boss moves it up. But, like, it's so weird. The Star Wars franchise is a very strange franchise. Like, there's so much good in it, but there's also... It's, like, it's up and down completely.
It's up and down. I think, again, I this is my personal opinion. I don't have any issues with the original trilogy at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I love all three of those movies. I could watch any of those movies at any time. No problems. Mm-hmm. It all begins with the prequel trilogy because, you know, you get the people who are like, did we even need these movies? You know, we were talking about this last week. I mean, did we really need three movies to tell us that this kid becomes Vader? And you look back on it and you go, no, we didn't. But again, we got three movies and we fleshed out these characters that we never knew. And, you know, it's there. It's part of the lexicon now, as is this trilogy. But
We'll see if time is as kind to this trilogy as it has been to the prequel trilogy.
I don't know.
All right, one more thing that I like about this movie, all right? This movie feels, the worlds feel way more lived in and alive. They go back to practical puppets, and also the celebration in the desert's really cool, and it shows like a lot of culture that was, you know, kind of missing the last two movies, where you don't see these other worlds and seeing this giant desert celebration, especially seeing Racy. She's like lived on a desert planet her whole life. She's never seen anything like that. I did enjoy, you know, all that stuff. There is some good in here. However,
it hurts you to say that.
It does. Like I said, this movie was more of a disappointment. It's literally like, oh no, we done messed up. Hey, Ron, gotta fix it. And they went too far.
Yeah. Like even to the death of Kylo. I mean, if you're gonna make Kylo good, he's the character you sacrifice. Like, stupid. It just kind of felt like it was very similar to Luke's death at the end of Last Jedi. It was just like, really? That's how he's going out?
Mm-hmm.
Disappearing? Okay.
Why do all these Jedi just like give up and just die? Like, all these characters just give up and die. Yoda's like, yo, I'm out. Just disappears. Padme, broken heart. Oh. Then you got Obi-Wan's like, nah, I'm gonna die. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm going to be more powerful. Like, all these characters. And now in this movie, like, it's almost like they're competing at this point. But Star City rating for The Rise of Skywalker.
I'm going to give it a 2, just like I gave Last Jedi. I think they're probably about even with just blah. Nothing crazy.
What did I give The Last Jedi? I think I gave it like a 1.
I think you gave it a 1.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 2 also. It is below average. I think the problem, it's curious how this movie would be if this was just a movie. Like, right? No other context to it. Like, because producer Melanie, this was her first Star Wars movie ever. What a terrible bar to set, you know, like, oof.
Where did we see that? We went up in
Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember because you were trying to give her all...
Oh my God, I tried to give her an entire Star Wars lecture in the 40-minute drive.
It was over. It was just like, oh my God. It was like trying to put so much information into a computer in a short period of time.
And you know what? She still saw it. She you know.
She handled it. She took all the info and she, you know.
I was very proud of her. I still am. And she has watched Star Wars since.
Yeah, she doesn't. I don't think it's, you know, it really, I don't think it was that much where to the point where she couldn't enjoy watching the movie. She probably enjoyed watching your reaction to the movie than it was.
Yeah, I'm not subtle, but she did watch. She did watch all of Obi-Wan with me, so that was a lot of fun, and we definitely enjoyed watching that. And even when he's like, "Hello there," she's like, "Ah, he said hello there." But yeah, so that's gonna pretty much wrap us up for today.
Well, can
go?
Can I just say so? We're gonna come back next week, probably doing the two
spinoff movies.
I guess you could say prequels, spinoff movies. But I just want to get your thoughts. What do you think we're gonna see with this new Rey storyline, or what do you want to see?
I want to see her creating a new Jedi, a modern Jedi order that embraces both aspects of the light side and the dark side. A very like Ahsoka Tano, very like gray Jedi type mentality, where it's like, hey. You can have, like, it's not about one or the other. It's about finding the true balance that is beneficial to everyone. So, you know, like Jedi who can marry and stuff like that. Like, that was a big thing in the expanded universe. Like, Luke Skywalker got married, and he was still like.
Well, that's right. I saw him. So how? Yeah. Obviously, they didn't follow the lexicon of the expanded universe. I mean, like, in your opinion, if they just made movies out of the expanded universe, would we be having the same issues we have today?
No, I don't think so. Some of the more diehard Star Wars fans might have issues because obviously some of that is very hard to adapt. But if they had done like Shadows of the Empire was really big at the time, I would watch that movie in a heartbeat. You remember the N64 game?
Oh, great. Or what's the PS2, the PS3, PS4 game? Sam Witwer.
Oh, The Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed.
Yeah, and
see, that to me would be an interesting movie. That, you know, or even a two-part movie where you see this little kid be brought up by Vader, and you know, possibly being turned into the new, you know, Darth Maul-ish character and all that stuff. And that would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, and I'm playing Jedi Survivor right now, the new game. Like, ooh, I've been having a lot of fun with that. And, like, so there's potential for Star Wars to be not the Skywalkers or to be outside of, you know, look at The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian didn't even talk about Jedis until the second season.
No, you're right. I hear you. And that's, the Mandalorian was the first step into that, and it was successful, and now they're going to obviously continue on with non-Skywalker storylines. I mean, excuse me. Obviously, Rey takes the name Skywalker at the end of the end of the movie, which, okay. I don't understand, you know, really didn't need that, but
that's how it works, don't you know that?
Yeah, pretty much. Technically, she basically, you know, gave herself to Ben. I mean, shouldn't she name the thing Solo?
You think, yeah.
But, all right.
You feel better now that you got that out?
No, I just was curious your thoughts on where it's going to go.
I don't know, we'll see. Yeah. But if you guys would like more of our content, make sure you guys check out our website, themisfitfaction.com. You can also find us on all the social medias. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Just type in the Cinematic Adventures Podcast or the Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. But that is going to wrap us up for tonight. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.
The Force sucks with you.